Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity who are living on the planet Earth, listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 23rd day of August 2022. And we have two guests joining us today, back to back, two dear friends and two people I love to interview. During the first hour, we are going to have the privilege of having Dr. Richard D. Phillips on the show again. He is the author of numerous books, highly sought after conference speaker, chairman of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, co-editor of the Reformed Expository Commentary series published by PNR Publishing, an adjunct professor and trustee at Westminster Theological Seminary, and board of directors member at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. He's also the senior pastor at the historic Second Presbyterian Church of Greenville, South Carolina. And during the first hour, we will be discussing with Rick the sufficiency of Scripture and the story of Scripture. And during the second hour, make sure you stay tuned for my dear friend and also my very first pastor after becoming, by the grace of God, a new creation in Christ, the man who actually baptized me, Michael A. Gaidosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, and he's going to be addressing discovering hidden treasures of Christian literature. But first and foremost, we ask of you to welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, back for another interview, Dr. Richard D. Phillips. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here, Chris.
And why don't you let our listeners know something about Second Presbyterian Church of Greenville, South Carolina?
Yeah, thank you. Presbyterian Church is a PCA church, Presbyterian Church in America, congregation, and we are a block off Main Street in downtown Greenville, South Carolina. Greenville is one of the fastest growing southern cities, and it's kind of come on the map in the last 20 years, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's such a beautiful, wonderful city. It's a very conservative place. I'm very blessed both with the church and by the town I live in. So we're a pretty old church. We were 1892. We were founded, and it's been a long time Bible-believing, faithful, Reformed church, and it's great to be the pastor there.
Great, and the church is most notorious for having as its member, one of its members, Joe Bianchi, and that's a dear friend of mine for many years. And extend my greetings to Joe and Monica for me.
I will certainly do so. They're wonderful, wonderful people.
Yes, and for...
And their daughter, Christina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is Christina actually there at the church, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. I haven't seen Christina, I think, since she was perhaps in her early teens, and she was always a very sweet girl, and extend to her my greetings as well. And... if anybody wants more information about Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, go to SPC, which stands for Second Presbyterian Church, greenville.org, spcgreenville.org. And I figure I'll also, for the sake of my friend Joe Bianchi, and also for the sake of listeners desiring to find out about good Christian literature, I will give the website for Calvary Press, which Joe Bianchi owns and operates. CalvaryPress.com, CalvaryPress.com. And I hope to see you sometime soon, Joe, wherever the Lord may providentially guide our paths. And you are involved in an upcoming Bible conference where I plan to be manning an exhibitor's booth again. I've done this a number of times there in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. It's called the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And this fall, it's going to be on the theme, The Sufficient Word. And the other speakers at this conference are men who I just recently interviewed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Daniel Doriani and Harry Reeder. And this is going to be taking place November 11th through the 12th. Why don't you tell us more about the Sufficient Word Conference?
Well, the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology has probably been going on 10, maybe 15 years now. It's really a wonderful event if you're in the neighborhood and you're interested in Reformed theology, and I hope you are. You really should come. It's well attended. The speakers are great. And it's just got a wonderful, enthusiasm about it. It's actually, as the name suggests, it came about as a result of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology that James Boyce founded 50 years ago. This year's our 50th year for that. And they wanted to do that in their own local church, and it's really been wonderful. And when you're going to do Reformed theology, of course, you know that the Protestant Reformation, the formal principle of it was sola scriptura. And most evangelicals today will agree to the inerrancy of Scripture, and we're glad for that. But we need to know also that the Word of God is sufficient for the saving ministry of the gospel. And so that's going to be our emphasis, and I'd love to talk about it today.
Great. And if anybody wants more information about the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology this year on the theme, The Sufficient Word, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on events and scroll down to where you see Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology 2022, The Sufficient Word, November 11th through the 12th. And I'm looking forward to seeing my old friend, Pastor Ron Cole of Grace Bible Fellowship Church there in Quakertown, who's hosting the conference. And we've got to also clarify for those of you who don't listen very keenly, this is not a conference on the Quakers or Quaker theology. It's the Quakertown Conference. That's the name of the town. I've had some wise guys on social media commenting on that. So I have to make sure that our listeners are clear that this is a Reformed conference. And
halfway between Philadelphia and Allentown.
Great. And, the two elements of the main theme of the sufficiency of Scripture, or the sufficient word, that you are addressing are the sufficiency of Scripture and the story of Scripture. Now, you already addressed a little bit of the controversy over the sufficiency of Scripture. Once something that only Roman Catholics formally denied, and today you have a host of evangelicals either unconsciously contradicting or denying it, or you even have some that boldly deny it, and they would be typically more in the realm of charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And of course, there are some within that wide spectrum of belief within those categories. There are some who would readily and boldly and vociferously claim they believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. It may not be logically and consistently held to according to their other practices, but there are some who say we need a fresh new word. The Bible is wonderful for a lot of things, but we still need a word for today from God to help govern the lives and churches of those in the 21st century. And it's interesting that people would even come to that conclusion when they probably have not even begun to plumb to the depths of what God has already provided in his canon. But if you could, tell us about your thoughts on why this is an important issue today, as just as important as it ever was, the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Well, it's certainly true of those who believe there's ongoing prophecy today, who have a revelatory word from God. They are denying the sufficiency of Scripture because the canon is closed. And when we get to the story of Scripture, in fact, that's a good way to talk about how that is the case. But I think it's actually, in another way, even more significant, not just among charismatic and Pentecostals, but among maybe the majority of evangelical Christians, and that is in terms of our ministry approach, our means of doing the work that God's given us to do. It's in fact, particularly in that sense that I think of it, the sufficiency of Scripture means that God saves by his word, and he does so by his word alone. Now, by alone, we mean by the power of the Holy Spirit, the preached word in the church, the read word with an open Bible, the shared word over a coffee table. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's what the Bible says. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Now, that's important today, because, and particularly the church is influenced by the seeker-sensitive movement, which is almost the majority report today among evangelical Christians, where they're really relying on things other than the Bible. My family and I went to a church, and it's a well-known church in our area for being conservative, Christian, Bible-believing, and I was on vacation, and we had some friends who went there, so we went. I was astonished that the first mention of the Bible was 36 minutes into the service. They started off with a greeter, and he was very chummy, and he invited people in, and then they had announcements. They sang a lot of songs, and then the minister was preaching from the church vision statement. And I remember the first time he actually mentioned the Bible, a verse from it, I look at my watch, we were 36 minutes into the service. And that would be unconscionable to the great majority of Protestant Reformed churches since the Reformation. When we speak of the sufficiency of Scripture, what we mean is that what we're banking on to allow us to accomplish the work God's given us to do, and that's primarily the Great Commission. That's going to be the conversion of people, the ingathering of converts to Christ, and then the discipleship of believers so that they grow in their faith. The principal means for that is the Word of God. And we rely on emotional manipulation through the rock band and through other means. The Word itself is increasingly not preached or it's referenced, but it's not expositive. And people, I think, will know what I'm talking about. The pastor's got a message, it's got 4 points, and he mentions Bible verses, but he's not teaching the Bible. It's not the proclamation of the Bible. And that is a crisis today. It's no wonder that the evangelical church today in America is so anemic and weak when we are starving and famished for the Word of God. The Word of God is sufficient to do the work of God.
Now, do you think a lot of the problem with that is that people are relying upon, and they may never in a million years phrase it this way, but they are relying upon an Arminian understanding of how God saves sinners. If you believe a Christian can convince someone through articulate oratory and cleverness and appealing to their desires and emotions, to through their own free will of their nature, of their unregenerate nature, to believe in Christ because you make things so appealing to them that they may involve blessings or privileges that they are not experiencing as a non-churchgoer. They think that they can convince these folks through these means to come to Christ, whereas we know we have to just boldly preach and proclaim and teach the truths of what God has breathed out, that is in his scripture, and he is the one that will give the increase. He is the one that will remove hearts and stone of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh. And when I bring this criticism of an Arminian understanding, I'm not just criticizing Arminian churches, because there are many Reformed churches that I have become aware of over the years who unconsciously, in every practical sense, are really adopting Arminian methodology. Am I off base here?
Yeah, I think there's two things going on, and one of them undoubtedly is the Arminian belief that conversion is primarily an act on the person's part. You believe it's an act of your will. It's your choice. And that belief, sincerely wanting to be successful, caring for people to come to know Christ, wanting them to escape hell and go to heaven, they're trying to persuade them. And so all kinds of leverage. I think this is in part how the worship services became so secular, so worldly. We're trying to appeal to people based upon what they like, and since they're not really interested in the Bible, they're not really interested in Christ himself, therefore we get this big emotional experience that more or less mimics the rock concert, and the way it feels is this euphoric experience that people like. Well, the problem is it's not Christian, and the other problem is that's not how people are saved. But I think that a lot of it's well-meaning pastors and churches who are trying to be successful. And I don't even mean that necessarily in a worldly way. They're trying to reach people for Christ. And so they increasingly abandon the Bible, and they increasingly use sensual, carnal, worldly means of persuasion and manipulation. The other thing going on is simply that we have appeals to the world. I get these mailings to attend pastor conferences from these groups, and it's amazing to me. They have all these business consultants. How to identify your target audience and craft your messages to be appealing and persuasive. And so that of course denies even more radically the supernaturalism that's always involved. Now, the Bible says that it's God who saves. When we were dead in our trespasses, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. And so the Bible teaches that conversion and salvation, the same is true of spiritual growth, is a sovereign act of God by his appointed means, chief of which is the Bible. This is why, by the way, Chris, the evangelical movement is increasingly populated by non-Christians. People who will identify as Christians, people who are not born again, because you cannot be born again apart from the Word of God. In fact, it's only by the Word of God that you can be born again. And we're removing the Word of God from our evangelism. And so I think, yes, it's Arminian theology, and then there's just this appeal to worldly methodology.
Yes, a fear I have found, even amongst professedly Bible-believing evangelicals, a fear of offending the audience, the congregation, the visitors, a fear of losing people and therefore subsequently losing tithes and offerings. I have met, sadly, over my decades of participation in Christian radio and the media, I have come across far too many pastors who will admit, even in an unashamed way, that I'm not going to tell my congregation that, because they'll leave, or this or that or the other thing.
Right.
My jaw is hanging open. When did Jesus approach things that way? In fact, Jesus, from the scriptures, had a habit of thinning out the herd when it got too big by saying something that was so offensive to their sensibilities that it sifted out those who were false believers, who were... Go ahead.
It's that wonderful scene at the end of John 6 where Jesus is fed the 5,000, and he taught, if you look, whatever, it's really in John 6, he taught the doctrines that we call Reformed theology. I mean, it's what it is.
Yes, you cannot come to me unless it has been given of the Father.
Right. And they say, oh, this is a hard teaching. And Jesus doesn't say, well, then then what do you want me to say? I'll turn it down for you. He says, do you want to go as well? And they said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus thought that a church of 12 actual believers who actually heard and believed the word of God, and one of those was Judas, he thought that was a more effective church strategy than to fill the church with goats.
Amen.
You know, rather than sheep. And that was Jesus' ideology. And, you know, when you look in other places around the world where the church is persecuted, China and those places, you know, they're holding fast to the word of God, and that's why they're bearing fruit. And I would say at the top of the list of the major problems in evangelical Christianity today is that we have increasingly abandoned the Bible. Now, people will say, what are you talking about? We still believe in the Bible. But methodologically, in our churches, we've abandoned the Bible. The work of ministry is done by other means. And increasingly, the Bible is excluded. And to that, and therefore, we are attracting people for things other than Christ, other than the Word of God, and the evangelical movement is increasingly today non-Christian.
Amen. In fact, I had an interaction years ago with a very dear Roman Catholic friend, and I hope he's listening, Bob Posh, used to be a lawyer for Doubleday Books, and Bob used to have parties over his home, perhaps about 3 times a year. And those parties were specifically designed to invite Roman Catholics and evangelicals to his home so that they could eat, drink, and argue. And Bob and I were always the two last ones in the living room going back and forth. And I remember Bob saying that passage that you were just referring to in John 6, he said, yeah, see, you're just like those people that left Jesus who left because they rejected the mass. They rejected transubstantiation.
Yeah.
And I said, no, read the passage again. When did they walk away? It was because Jesus said, no one can come to me unless it is given to them by the Father. And that is Reformed theology.
And we talk about, you know, Calvinism is taught primarily by Paul and Isaiah. No one in the Bible teaches what we call the doctrines of Reformed doctrine more clearly and passionately than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, tell us, in fact, I'm going to go to the first break right now. It's something that we have to do to pay the bills. But when we come back, I want you to get involved more in the story of Scripture. And people may be scratching their head, wondering exactly what you mean by that. And if anybody listening has a question for my guest today, Rick Phillips, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Rick Phillips right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, during the first month of advertising for Royal Diadem Jewelers, they are giving 100% of all the profits from any purchase over $100 directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if you mention that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we hope that you either purchase jewelry that they already have in stock or have a custom designed piece of jewelry very soon, perhaps even including your church logo or your parachurch ministry logo or something unusual like that. Go to royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Rick Phillips. And tell us about the other aspect of your discussions at the Sufficient Word Conference, which is the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology this November, the story of Scripture.
Yeah, I'm excited to speak on that subject. Most people haven't probably heard of Scripture spoken of that way. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches us how to know God and how to be saved. Amen. But how does the Bible do that? Primarily by telling a story. And there is one, I would prefer to say history, but it's a literary form in the Bible. There is a story that is told begins at creation. And we are told about a historical event, the fall of Adam and Eve and of our race, and then of God's great redemptive works throughout history, all leading to and flowing from the coming of his son, the Lord Jesus, to redeem a people. And then the story, of course, ends. We're still in it. But it will end in the new heavens and the new earth, where we will reign with Christ forever. And so it's actually a hugely important thing to realize. Take the first five books of the Bible. What was the event, Chris, that prompted God through Moses to reveal the first five books of the Bible? What would you say?
That prompted Moses. What did God use to prompt Moses?
Something happened, and then what's the big thing Moses is associated with?
Well, obviously the Decalogue.
And the Exodus, right?
Yes.
And so we refer to this as the word-deed correlation. God accomplished a great redemptive work in history, and then he gave his revelatory word both to record what he had done and to explain the significance of it. And so really the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they all come into existence because of the Exodus and the forming of Israel as a nation and the passage through the wilderness. And what you have is God acted in history. Even Genesis, the important sense in which Genesis is prologue, because you have to get to the Exodus. And then the rest of the Bible, the next great event in redemptive history, was the the conquest of Canaan, Joshua and the entry of Israel into the promised land. And so you get the book of Joshua that records that. The next great event was the Davidic kingdom and the books of Judges. Judges is about David. Ruth, it ends with David. First and Second Samuel. And so on, you get through the whole Bible. What the Bible is, it's the record and the explanation of God's great redemptive works in all of history. There is a story, not a fictional story. It's the true story. And here's the thing. You and I are in it. When you and I read, you know, our Old Testament, so many evangelicals today don't read their Old Testament because they think it's about somebody else. No, it's that history that is currently going on in and through the church today. And so the Bible, the message of the Bible is God's great redemptive acts in history, centered on and culminating in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by which he redeems sinners from the curse of the fall. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
Now, by the way, that's one of the reasons why we will argue that there is no prophet, there's no revelation going on today. Because God has, the last great redemptive act of God was Pentecost. You and I are living in the Pentecostal church, the New Testament church with the outpour spirit from Pentecost. The next great event that will happen is the return of Christ. And during this long age where the gospel is going forth to the end of the earth and we're gathering in the elect by the ministry of the word and prayer, and then Christ will return. Now, when Christ returns, we won't need the word, in that sense, the written word, because he will bring in the eternal glory. But so people say, I have a new revelation from God. I want to ask, well, what redemptive event are you recording or explaining? Because that's what Scripture is. The Bible's not just random, you know, God thoughts. It's the record and explanation. Even the epistles are the explanation. And we think of Paul, it's very doctrinal. It's not written in story format. True. But it is explaining the great events that are recorded in the Gospels and the book of Acts. So Scripture tells this grand story. That's the true story of history. And it tells us what happened and what it means. And that's what the Bible is.
Amen. You just reminded me of years ago when a friend of mine who is Pentecostal invited me to hear some prophet, so-called, that was speaking at a church that he was familiar with. And I wanted to humor him because he had been kind enough to attend conferences and worship services that I recommended. So I went to this event, and it was a Scottish gentleman who was the alleged prophet. And, of course, he was just telling everybody good news and appeasing their desires and never offending anybody by just prophesying wonderful things about them. And so I wrote to this man from his website afterwards, and I said, I know that Scotland has been a rich land filled with the doctrines of Reformed theology and Calvinism for centuries, and you are a native of that land, and I was wondering, what is your opinion on things like unconditional election and definite atonement? And he said, well, I haven't ever really given much thought about those things, nor have I formed an opinion of them. So I said, so you know the future and not the past?
Well, you know, and these are usually well-meaning folks. In many cases, they'll say, well, give us the prophecy, and someone will stand up and say, I have a word from the Lord, and he wants you to love one another. That's an exhortation. It's not a prophecy. Prophecies deal with the great redemptive acts of God in history. And in your and my lifetime, there has not been a great redemptive act in history. One of the fundamental works by which he's moving redemptive history along. We are still living out the implications of Pentecost. That's the New Testament age. And there is more to come, and it's called the second coming of Jesus.
Amen.
And so I think it's very exciting and helpful to realize that's what Scripture does. It tells us the great redemptive acts that God has done. Now, by the way, it also means that we can't afford to compromise these things. I think particularly, say, the implications of the teaching of evolution. Christian is not just a science. People say, well, that's the Bible doing science. No, it's the Bible doing history.
Right.
And we cannot compromise on these fundamental points of the biblical narrative. If you take evolution and you add it in, you end up with a different story. If Adam did not fall, if there's no historical Adam from whom every human being is the literal, a descendant, so that we are, when Adam fell, we fell because he was our covenant head under the covenant of works, then the Christian story doesn't make any sense. And so the most non-negotiable things are those things that deal with the great message of who God is and what is the problem and what is his solution in history.
Amen. And by the way, let me just quickly interject that so-called prophet, I don't believe was just a well-meaning person. I think he was a charlatan, but obviously I know that there are many quote-unquote lay people who are well-intentioned and misguided and fall into the trappings of using the verbiage of the popular charismatic and Pentecostal buzz phrases and so on.
If someone comes to you and says, I have a prophecy, you should say, what great redemptive act of God? Isaiah and Jeremiah, I'm preaching Jeremiah in the mornings right now, they prophesied the fall of Babylon and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Isaiah prophesied. The judgment of Israel, the Babylonian captivity, the restoration of the Jews from Babylon, and the first coming of Jesus Christ. Those are great redemptive acts of God. So if someone says they're a prophet today, we are living in the time where the next great redemptive work is the return of our Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's very helpful. But more than just, actually, in my context, I don't deal with that problem a lot, so I don't think of that particular problem that too much. But the awareness, when you read your Bible, when you pick up the book of Judges, that is not, or any Old Testament text, it's not a marble in a bag. Every Old Testament text So when you're reading and interpreting an Old Testament text, it's not an isolated ethical story. It's telling you something that is part of the long story. David and Goliath is not, in fact, about you can conquer through faith. David is a type of Christ. He is the anointed one. And of course, as you know, the word anointed is the word for Messiah or Christ. The David and Goliath story is a type of Christ's victory over sin and Satan. Where you and I are in the David and Goliath story, we're the cowardly Israelites who are afraid to fight Goliath. But when our Savior shows up, we praise him and we join along and follow him. And so understanding the Bible is telling the great story centered on Christ really helps us to interpret our whole Bibles.
Amen. We have an anonymous listener, and the anonymous listener says, how do you approach respectfully your own pastor and elders when you fear that the sermons being proclaimed from the pulpit are too much storytelling about their own lives and anecdotes, and there is not enough exegesis occurring? I don't want to come off like I am holier than thou or more knowledgeable than them, but it is something that is quite disturbing, and I need some counsel and guidance.
God bless the person with that question. It's a big question today, and so it's an important one. It is a big problem if your pastor is not teaching the Bible, but instead is telling emotional stories, telling you all about his own life and his wonderful wife and, funny stories from his life. Why are people doing that? Well, because we define success in terms of numbers, and you get more people to come if instead of preaching the word of God, you tell charming stories. I mean, that's just what's going on today. Now, I will say this, I hate to put it this way, I think you should leave that church because you're not going to change your pastor. I'm telling you right now, if someone comes to me and says, we want you to stop preaching the Bible and doing expository preaching and instead tell charming stories, I'm not going to change because I have strong convictions. Well, your pastor probably does too. And I think that we need to show discernment in selecting churches. You know, a woman came to me some years ago and wanted marital counseling. And I said, "Man, I don't know that you're part of our church." He said, "Well, no." I said, "I'm happy to help you, but shouldn't you go to your own pastor in your own church? You know, you and your husband are under his authority. That's the place to go." He said, "I wouldn't go to him for something important like that." And I said, "Well, why are you at this church?" He goes, "Oh, for the music."
And I didn't
say it, but I thought, well, and you're getting what you asked for. You know, it is vitally essential that the pastor, supported by the elders, are committed to the teaching of the Bible. You know, in the New Testament, the number one word for the pastor is didaskalos. That's the Greek word for teacher. We are to teach the Bible. Our preaching is to be the teaching, the exposition of the Word of God. And I think it's best done by going straight through books of the Bible. I've been preaching for the last year and a half the prophet Jeremiah. We started in chapter 1, and we start chapter 31 this weekend. And I'm teaching the Bible, not telling them charming stories. But again, you know, I think the big issue today, Chris, is how we define success. And churches define success with the ABCs of church success: attendance, buildings, and cash. And if that's what you want, then, you know, probably it's true. You'll get more money and more people if you cry. Nothing wrong with crying, but every week's a little suspicious. And you tell stories about your dog and about your kids and anecdotes from movies and cultures. But that's not the work that the church is given to do. The minister is to preach the Word of God in which the Scriptures are taught. Now, there may be illustrations that help the teaching of it. I'm fine with that. I give illustrations. But it's not primarily charming speech. And I have to tell you, I don't think you're going to the average, I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to your pastor about it. I think in that case, you should humbly express your concern. But I'm not optimistic that most pastors are going to fundamentally change their philosophy of preaching.
Right. And if you're leaving, you should tell them why.
You should. I'm not against doing that. But I am saying, you know, honestly, you know, Paul praised the Bereans because they took the Scriptures so seriously. We need to choose our churches, not over the dynamism of the pastor, not by the building, not by the praise band or the organ players, but by the teaching of the Word of God. So by all means, I would say to the pastor in that case, you know, I'm really, the Scriptures indicates that we're to be taught the Bible. And I have to say, I'm not optimistic about them. You know, I hope the pastors are listening. I hope pastors are persuaded. But usually it's not by complaints from people in the church. So.
And we have time for one more question from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. He says, "Don't you think one of the key areas that reveals the truth of the tragedy of the church of the evangelical world today, not relying upon the sufficiency of Scripture, is found in the counseling rooms and the counseling ministries and counseling books that dominate Christian bookstores and online book distributors?"
Well, that question probably requires a longer answer than I should give here. A couple things. You know, part of the whole appeal to worldly wisdom and authority, because we're trying to connect with people, the things that they give credence to, has led to us bringing worldly doctrine into everything and worldly practice into everything. And so there's a lot of pop psychology, or even actual psychology, which is in many cases not biblical, that's going on. That's a symptom of the fact that the evangelical movement today is not tethered to the Bible. The other side of it is, even where there's godly, biblical-based counseling, it is true that we are more interested in ourselves than in God. And I'm not against Christian counseling when it's Bible-based and there's skilled people doing great things. But I've often said to people, you know, why don't you read a theology book? Not because I'm into theology, but because we need to think about God. And we need to get our minds off ourselves. And we are, you know, another phenomenon of the evangelical movement that is increasingly, you know, untethered from the Bible is that we're man-centered rather than God-centered. So I want to be careful because I'm very grateful for godly Christian counselors who help people with biblical wisdom. But sometimes the best biblical wisdom, often in fact, is let's just stop thinking about ourselves and let's turn our faces towards the Lord.
Amen. And the best
healing and power is, yeah.
And the best of biblical counselors say that very thing.
They do. And I've known some people who, you know, they had a lot of concerns, a lot of pain in their lives, perhaps, and they're just constantly reading these sorts of things. And I've often said to them, again, I mean, for every one of those books, why don't you read, you know, a book of biblical devotion and then a theology book? Think about God. Think about the message of Scripture. And fill yourself with Scripture rather than merely, you know, making the focus of everything your own experience and pain. So I don't want to be harsh in saying that, but I think it's actually a timely remark, to be honest with you.
Well, if you could, in a minute, summarize what you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners before we conclude our first hour of this program.
Well, thank you. Well, I hope you come to the conference. I think it'll be well worth time. I've spoken there maybe four or five times, three or four probably, and it's been wonderful. I always love to be asked to go to the Quakertown Conference, so I do hope I'll see you there. In terms of our topic, I want to say that the Christian people are to be a people of truth. We're to be a people of biblical truth. We're to be a people who really rely not only on the truthfulness of the Bible, but the power of the Bible and the sufficiency of the Bible. Let me close with, I've had my Bible open to 2 Timothy 3 this whole time. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul's dealing with Timothy has all kinds of problems in his church. He says in the latter days there'll be times of difficulty. And then he just gives this whole litany of things going on, which are going on today. Paul's solution for this is not for him to find a new technique, not for him to get worldly counsel. No, he tells Timothy to go back to the Scriptures. That's what he tells him to do. But as for you, 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted from the sacred writings, which will make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. And that's when he says all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so the principle approach of the Christian church to all kinds of problems is to preach the word and treat and all of its richness. That word which tells the story, the history of God's great redemptive work in and through Jesus Christ and puts us in that story where we are and tells us, you know, how to understand our world and ourselves. And Paul says, preach the word. And so the thing that is most probably in neglect among Bible-believing Christians today is the thing that's prescribed to us, that we're to rely upon God's word as sufficient. The word of God is sufficient in the hand of God to do the work of God with the power of God.
Amen. And we're out of time. And I want to repeat the websites that are key for my guest today, Dr. Rick Phillips, spcgreenville.org, which is the website for Second Presbyterian Church, Greenville, South Carolina, spcgreenville.org. And also don't forget about alliancenet.org and click on events for more details on the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology coming up November 11th through the 12th. Thank you so much, Dr. Rick Phillips, for doing such a superb job. And I look forward to our next interview, and I look forward to seeing you in November.
Always great to see you, Chris. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. And don't go away, folks, because during the second hour, we are going to be joined by Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books. And be patient with us. It's the longer than normal break. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Island 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, the founder and director of Solid Ground Christian Books is my guest for the second hour, coming up very quickly. Mike Gadosh, a dear friend, my first pastor as a born-again believer, the man who immersed me in the waters of baptism and was my primary mentor in the faith and shepherd, and I'm looking forward to what he has to say about discovering hidden treasures of Christian literature in the second hour. So please stay tuned, and please remember to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I introduce Mike Gadosh for the second hour of the broadcast, I just have a couple of very important announcements. If you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you can also, if you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check to the address that will also appear on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars just as much as we are in urgent need of your donations. So please, if you want to advertise your church, parachurch ministry, private professional practice, your business, corporation, a special event, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, I never want any of my listeners to cut into their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. In other words, don't give your own church less money because you want to give us a financial gift. And also, if you're really struggling to survive to make ends meet, please wait till you are back on your feet financially and more stable financially before you give us a financial gift. Two commands of the scripture in regard to finances are providing for the church of which you are a member and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, please, if you have money collecting interest in the bank and you have extra money and that you use for recreational and trivial purposes, then please use some of that money to help us remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, a theologically sound church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church because I have extensive lists of faithful churches spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches in all parts of the world, sometimes within just a few minutes of their homes. I may be able to help you too, so send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line if you are in that predicament of not having a biblically faithful church home that you're aware of near where you live. And that goes for if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that situation as well, obviously. chrisarnson@gmail.com. But "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Michael A. Gaidosh, the founder and director of Solid Ground Christian Books, whose website is solid-ground-books.com. And I can't wait to find out what he has to say about discovering hidden treasures of Christian literature. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, my longtime friend and former pastor, Mike Gaidosh.
Well, thank you, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly well.
Great, great. Yeah, I'm glad that you've been able to squeeze me in after Brother Phillips. And I'm glad for the opportunity of being able to share with you some little gems. Since you gave me a little bit of time, I'm going to have to deal with little things today. Little books, little classics, you know, little things. That's what my thoughts are.
Well, why don't you start with the first one that you had in mind?
All righty. I have a book that I just recently received, I printed a bunch of copies. It's entitled A Pastor's Counsel, subtitled Wise Words for Weary, Wounded, and Wandering Sheep. Some of the authors that are found in this little gem that was a American Tract Society publication back in the 1800s, people that you might have heard of like Jonathan Edwards, Philip Doddridge, Thomas Scott, Ashbel Green, and a few others. What I love about this particular book is that it addresses some really important issues, like, you know, simple things like what is it to believe on Christ? And that seems like a simple enough question when a person says, well, what must I do to be saved? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, what is it to believe? And they have an excellent little article, What is it to Believe in Christ? And they answer some questions here that are just profoundly answered. And in fact, I want to read a section from the publisher's introduction, which was written by me. I knew you would enjoy that. I begin by quoting several proverbs that I think really introduce you to what's going to be found in the book. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. These texts drawn from Proverbs serve as a fitting introduction to the little gem that you now hold in your hands. Those who wrote the brief articles that are now before you were some of the wisest, choicest servants of God that this fallen world has ever known. In Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, the leading figure in the book, whose name is Christian, is led into a house that is called the House of the Interpreter. This house represents the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the new convert. And there are seven powerful lessons that are taught to Christian. The very first lesson is the description of a true pastor whom we are told is the only man whom the Lord of the place whither thou art going has authorized to be your guide in all difficult places you may meet with in the way. Now, I've often been struck by that Bunyan, as he is putting together this amazing book, Pilgrim's Progress, and The House of the Interpreter, the very first scene of the seven marks that Bunyan lays out for the new believer is the marks of a true pastor. And this is what he saw. These are the seven images that are found in this true pastor. Christian saw a picture of a very grave person hang up against the wall, and this was the fashion of it. It had his eyes lifted to heaven, the best of books in his hand, the law of truth was written upon his lips, the world was behind his back, he stood as if he pleaded with men, and a crown of gold did hang over his head. First, we notice that the true pastor must be a man who is grave. The idea is found in the word that is being serious and solemn. This is captured in the words of Richard Baxter, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." Second, the true pastor should be a man with his eyes lifted to heaven. In the spirit of Samuel, the pastor you trust should be able to say, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." The man you trust as your pastor must be above all known as a man of prayer. Third, the true pastor should be a man with the best of books in his hand. In the spirit of the psalmist, your earthly shepherd should be able to say, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." While all ministers of the gospel should be reading the best Christian books available, he must be devoted to the Bible as the word of the living God. Trust no man who does not trust the Bible. Fourth, the true pastor should be a man with the law of truth written upon his lips. In the language of the prophet Malachi, the law of truth was in his mouth, and justice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. It is not enough that a man carries his Bible in his hand. He must have it written within his heart and coming out from his lips. Fifth, the true pastor should be a man with the world behind his back. A worldly minister is a contradiction of terms. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Apostle Paul was able to say, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." One of the marks of a false shepherd, according to Thomas Brooks, is they eye your goods more than your good, and mind more the serving of themselves than the saving of your souls. So they may have your substance, they care not that Satan has your souls. And sixth, the true pastor should be a man who pleads with men. In the language of the Lord through Ezekiel, "I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God." All who represent our Lord Jesus Christ must be like the Apostle Peter, of whom we are told, "And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." And he must be like the Apostle Paul, who is described in Athens. "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." The men who wrote the chapters in this little book were all known by their earnest desire to see souls saved. And then finally, the true pastor should be a man with a crown of gold, not on his head, but above his head. In the language of Bunyan, that is to show thee that slighting and despising the things that are present, for the love that he hath to his master's service, he is sure in the world that comes next to have glory for his reward. Seek a shepherd after God's own heart who has his eyes fixed upon the world to come. Well, the book, The Pastor's Counsel, is a book that is for Christians and for unbelievers as well. And it's a book that would be helpful for pastors. There are many helpful things in here that could be used by pastors, questions and counsels by Ashbel Green, self-dedication to God by Philip Doddridge, advice to young converts by Jonathan Edwards, The Closet Companion, A Help to Self-Examination by George Berder, and The Knowledge and Pardon and the Witness of the Holy Spirit by Thomas Scott. It's an amazing little book. It's only about 100 pages long. In fact, not even 100 pages long. And yet, it's just jam-packed with godly counsel that can be used by pastors, by Sunday school teachers, and by parents as well. So that's a book called A Pastor's Counsel.
Well, that sounds like a definite book that every pastor especially should have in his arsenal.
Yep.
And do you find that a good percentage of your customers are pastors?
I don't know. I would say a decent percentage. I would think maybe 15-20%, and it depends. I mean, sometimes there'll be more pastors, but we also have a lot of ladies that order books, so I'm hoping they're not pastors.
Well, there goes about 7,000 customers right there that you just lost.
Well, My books are actually books that will minister to shepherds. In fact, as you know, many of the books that I have uncovered through the years, I've uncovered them for pastors, but not just for pastors to read themselves, but many times the books that I find are books that I find that pastors can get in order to give to people in their church. And one of the books that I published some time ago is entitled The Backslider, His Nature, Symptoms, and Recovery, written by Andrew Fuller. And it's an interesting book. It's almost like nobody wants to order it because they think that I'm going to think that they're getting it for themselves.
I personally object to the fact that you used my photo on the cover.
I didn't think you'd notice. No, I'm just kidding.
I actually wonder if Tom Nettles was ever bothered by the fact that Walt Chantry had him on the cover of his book, Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic, and I'm hoping that most people realized he was the authentic.
I don't think I even knew that he was on. You're talking about the original cover?
Yes, he was the pastor on the original, or the preacher, I should say.
I'm assuming you're right. He was the authentic one. But anyway, that book by Andrew Fuller is a very, very good book. It's the kind of book that, again, would be a good book to get for a pastor to be able to read, and he'd be able to use it in a study that he might want to do. It is a tough subject, obviously, to deal with. We have a picture of kind of an overgrown field, and on the cover we have superimposed the words, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, looked upon it, and received instruction." Proverbs 24:30-32. And by the way, just notice the word nettles is in there.
I heard it.
It's not Tom's picture, but it's his name. So...
Anyway. By the way, well, you've got to get, if you haven't already, Dr. Michael Haken to write an endorsement for that, because he is one of the finest Fuller scholars around.
You know what, Chris? As a matter of fact, he wrote the foreword.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
That was not planned, folks.
We really do think alike, Chris. That was a real softball toss that we just.
And that was not pre-planned. I didn't know that he wrote the foreword.
No, I know you didn't. I know, and you also didn't know that Nettle's name was on the actual on the quote on the cover as well.
Right.
But another one. Do we have another minute?
Oh yeah, we do. We have nearly 10 minutes. Well, actually, okay. Nearly 20. Actually.
Before we take a break.
Yes.
We we only get it? Do we get one break?
Yes, we only get one break because you're only in you're only on the second half. So.
Oh, okay, okay. Another small one that I did, which is really a helpful, encouraging little book, is called The Assurance of Faith, The Firm Foundation of Christian Hope by Louis Burkhoff. Burkhoff lived from 1873 to 1957. He's mostly known for his systematic theology, which actually has been recently reprinted in a very nice edition by Banner of Truth. And it's available. In fact, I believe they've added to his systematic theology his introduction to systematic theology, which was actually a book by itself, and they've included that in the volume. But this particular book, Joel Beakey says, of the Assurance of Faith, and it, you probably know that Beakey has written a tremendous amount on the subject of assurance.
Yeah, that was his doctoral dissertation, and he had to leave a denomination over there. Aberrant teachings on that issue.
Wow. Beakey said this about Burkhoff's little book, The Assurance of Faith. He said, this book is unsurpassed in its clear, classically reformed presentation of the threefold foundation of assurance of faith, the promises of God, the inward witness of the Spirit, and the testimony of the Christian graces. Burkhoff excels at revealing the direct connection between faith and assurance and counseling believers on the cultivation of that assurance. Covering its history, its foundation, and its experience, Burkhoff convinces the reader that assurance ought to be treasured by all believers and that doubt stunts a believer's growth, well-being, and ability to praise the Lord. Having this book available once again is a great blessing. And so that is also a little book that I published that I believe is useful to the Church of Christ. Another one that's rather small, which is also very, very helpful, is Robert Candlish, Expository Discourses on Psalm 51, entitled The Prayer of a Broken Heart. And it is really a... just a masterful exposition of Psalm 51 in four messages. The first chapter one is the confession of sin, Psalm 51, 1-6. Chapter two, the supplication for a full cleansing, beginning with verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Chapter three, its purpose of reparation, Psalm 51, 13-16, the purpose of reparation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And then chapter 4, its present sacrifice and final prospect. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And that's entitled The Prayer of a Broken Heart, Expository Discourses on Psalm 51. So those are a few of the smaller books that I've published. I also wanted to speak about seven classic reprints that have recently been done by Crossway. Crossway has done a series, they have a series, I'm not sure what the total number is going to end up being, but they've done a beautiful job. They're very handy, almost pocket size volumes, and they're called the Crossway Short Classics. And I was thrilled when I found out that they were going to be doing one by my favorite author, B.B. Warfield, and the foreword was written by my favorite living author, Sinclair Ferguson. And the title of the essay that they chose to publish of Warfield's is called The Emotional Life of Our Lord. I don't know. Have you ever read that, Chris?
No, but I have heard of it, and now I am being reminded I should definitely read it because I have heard of it, but have not yet read it.
Well, you need to read it. It really is an amazing work by Warfield. He addresses the issues of the fact that our Lord had what he calls the emotion that we should naturally expect to find most frequently attributed to Jesus is no doubt compassion.
By the way, I wanted to give an extra plug for that book. I now instantly, well, I shouldn't say instantly, it was a delayed reaction, but I now remember why I have heard of that book. One of my most frequently interviewed guests, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, mm-hmm. pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger Westminster Catechism that is highly promoted by Dr. Joey Pipa at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Dr. Moorcraft, at least twice on my show, in very glowing terms, was urging people to read that book by Warfield.
Oh, wow. That's great. Excellent. Yeah, I think that I found it, I've always loved Warfield, and when I first read this, and it was many, many years ago, it was probably at least 40 years ago that I first read it, I was amazed at the insights that God gave him, and the compassion, the love that he showed for Christ, and he has one of the powerful sections he has is our Lord's anger. He has it on compassion, but he also has a section on anger, and he has some powerful words to describe the righteous anger, indignation of our Lord. And of course, you would remember the case of our Lord when he goes into the temple and he sees the money changers and just the way that he addresses that whole situation is so powerful. So that's one. That's one of the 7 classics, The Emotional Life of Our Lord. I have all 7 of them available right now, and they're on sale when you get all 7 together. Another one I'll just mention is The Expulsive Power of a New Affection by Thomas Chalmers. The foreword to that is written by John Piper. And the expulsive power of a new affection is the fact that when, he says, we know of no other way by which to keep the love of the world out of our hearts than to keep in our hearts the love of God. And that's that expulsive power of a new affection. We need to replace the love of the world with the love of the Father. Another is entitled Fighting for Holiness. Can you guess who wrote that one?
J.C. Ryle?
For Holiness. What's that?
J.C. Ryle?
J.C. Ryle. Very good, Chris. You're doing excellent. You should actually get your own show. Seriously, that's very impressive. Yeah,
well, I mean, it wasn't that big of an accomplishment since he wrote a book called Holiness.
Well, yeah, you're right. But not everybody would know that, and not everybody would have had that done. And the interesting thing is, this actually is not from that. It's not. When I first saw it, my assumption was that it was taken from the book Holiness, but it's not. This was actually a separate article that he wrote, and it's taken. Now they said that part of this is actually taken from Holiness, so I have to correct myself on that. It is taken from that, but it is a standalone piece in which he deals with particularly focusing on fighting the good fight of faith from 1 Timothy 6:12, and it's brief. It's only this one is only like 60-70 pages, but it's just a powerful piece, Fighting for Holiness by Ryle. Another one is one that I know you know which one this is. Heaven is a World of Love.
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards, exactly.
And remember, I got the endorsement from R.C. Sproul while he was standing at the urinal at Calvary Baptist Church in Manhattan.
Well, be that as it may, it seems like the kind of and nevertheless, he's the one who speaks about your rapier-like intellect.
Yes, it's.
I doubt that it came from that urinal experience.
By the way, he didn't write the endorsement right there. He just accepted the the booklet before it was published by Jonathan Edwards, and then he mailed the commendation later.
Well, I tell you, that is an excellent piece as well, Heaven, a World of Love. Of course, that is taken from, that's an extract from Jonathan Edwards' exposition of 1 Corinthians 13. And this is one of the chapters that was found in that exposition. Another is The Life of God in the Soul of Man by Henry Scougal, the foreword by Joel Beakey, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was George Whitfield that said he did not know what true religion was until he read The Life of God in the Soul of Man.
Wow.
So that tells you something also about the significance of that particular work.
Coming from George Whitfield.
Yeah, George Whitfield. And so that was, you know, that's another one that they've recently done. That's actually the largest of the particular books. That one is about 180 pages long. So it's a little heftier, but they're all very small. They're pocket-sized books, but it's larger. Another one, of course, Encouragement for the Depressed. I think you might guess who that could have been written by.
Charles Spurgeon?
Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Wow, I should be like on Jeopardy in the the Solid Ground Christian Books category.
There you go. That's it. If they ever have a Jeopardy category of Solid Ground Books, yes, you definitely should.
And I assure our listeners I'm not cheating here.
No, I'm guessing that you're not. I would never think you would do that.
Well, I don't even know how I would. I mean, I'd be very fast on the internet, and I'm not, as anybody who knows me will attest to.
Nobody would accuse you of that. You're right. But Spurgeon was a man who, as you know, experienced deep depression. And his work here on encouragements for the depressed is just excellent, excellent material. I think of all the ones I've sold, I think that's probably sold more than any of the others. And the final one, and I don't know if you would know of this one, The Lord's Work and the Lord's Way is one of the works, and then the second was called No Little People. No Little People. Now, I don't know if that, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that would be Randy Newman, the songwriter who sang Short People Have No Reason to Live.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. You're just thinking you might be able to think of it now. You know it's not Randy Newman. It wasn't Alfred E. Newman either. It was Francis Schaeffer. Francis Schaeffer, the one who wrote The Lord's Work in the Lord's Way. That was the first. This is actually made up of two small works by Francis Schaeffer. And the one is The Lord's Work in the Lord's Way, and the other is No Little People. And just excellent. These are excellent, excellent books. All seven of them, I think I've mentioned all seven now. We've got Thomas Chalmers, B.B. Warfield, J.C. Ryle, Jonathan Edwards, Henry Scougal, Charles Spurgeon, and Francis Schaeffer. They are working on a few more, but I don't think they're going to be bringing those out until sometime possibly beginning of next year. But those are just excellent, excellent books. And if your people are interested in getting those, they can, of course, go to our website, solid-ground-books.com, and they can just type in Crossway Short Classics. And I think if they do that, I'm pretty sure that would be the way for them to pull that up. Let me even check my own website just to make sure.
And let me give our email address again while you're looking. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question for our guest today, Michael A. Gaidosh, our guest for the second hour. And I do have a question that I'll give you time to recollect your thoughts after our final break to answer the question. In fact, maybe I'll do that now, and you can jump in where you want to express some thoughts on something here.
Sure.
If anybody wants to join us, it's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Boys,
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, that for their first month of advertising, Royal Diadem Jewelers is donating 100% of their profits from any purchase of $100 or more to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. They're donating 100% of the profits directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the first month. So you have to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you are purchasing jewelry or having jewelry custom designed. Just remember to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And the website again is royaldiadem.com. Royaldiadem.com. And Mike, we have a listener in Findlay, Ohio, Cindy, who wants to know if you can make this list you're providing in an email form so that she will be able to, instead of searching through the catalog on your website, she'll just be able to know what you're recommending quickly. And if,
sure.
And perhaps before you go off the air, you can highlight like the top five or six of what you're recommending.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. I actually send out emails on a daily basis that if Cindy would like to sign up, she can just sign up and we would include her in receiving those. That would be one option for her as well. And if you want to take the email off the air, and be able to do that as well. I did notice that all you have to do is if you wanted to just go on and look at these short classics that I mentioned, the Crossway series, if you go into the book search and just type in the words short classics, it'll pop right up and it'll just be that one page which will have all seven titles, and you can order individual titles or you can order all seven. The list price for the seven would be $66, and I'm selling them for $36 if you buy all seven. So that would be a way to be able to do that.
Now, I can't remember what you were hunting for before the break, but if you want to pick up where you left off.
Yeah, no, that is what I was hunting for.
Oh, okay.
And I found out that you don't even have to type in the word Crossway. If you just type in short classics, that will come up.
We have a listener, RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, what was the most surprising discovery you have made of a book that you knew that you just had to bring into print that you had never heard of before?
When I say discovery, I think the two that are most obvious you would know, Chris. The first is Pastor's Sketches.
Yeah, Ichabod Spencer.
By Ichabod Spencer. And the second would be Counsels and Thoughts on the Spiritual Life of Believers.
Thomas Moore.
Now, interestingly enough, I didn't discover either of them. They were discovered by someone else.
Tom Nettles discovered the second one, didn't he?
Who's that?
Tom Nettles?
No. Tom Nettles didn't discover the second one. He discovered that Thomas Moore was, he found out that Thomas Moore was an elder in Spurgeon.
Oh, okay.
But no.
Okay.
He didn't know anything about the book until I gave him a copy. We had already published it. But it's actually a good customer friend of mine, Bob Hart, who is the one who told me about the Counsels and Thoughts, and he learned about it through an article that was in a Scottish magazine. And so that's how I ended up finding out about it, and I was blown away when I started reading it, and obviously God has used it in a mighty way. And Pastor Sketches was actually discovered, at least for me, I came about it through a missionary in France, David Vaughan, who had discovered the book, and then he had made a photocopy, sent it to Steve Martin, who at the time was pastoring in Georgia. And Steve sent a copy to me and encouraged me to look at it and consider publishing it. And eventually I finally read it. And once I read it, I realized that this has to be published. And so, yeah, those are the two books. Really, there are many, many others that I can think of. The Richard Newton titles that I've done, Richard Newton, who was nicknamed by Spurgeon the prince of preachers to the young. That was the nickname that Spurgeon gave Richard Newton. And the books Bible Animals and Bible Jewels and Bible Warnings and Bible Promises and Heroes of the Early Church, Heroes of the Reformation, all of those books, The Life of Jesus Christ for the Young. I've done 18 different Newton titles, and just astounding books, just absolutely astounding books.
And your two books by Stephen H. Ting, the 19th century rector of St. George's Episcopal Church in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal. I had never heard of Ting before. You brought those books back to print.
Yeah, his book, The Christian Pastor, is one of the books that I did, and also the Lectures on the Law and Gospel. And Stephen Ting also, Stephen Ting actually has, I've done a few different things that he contributed to. The book on work that he contributed to, J.W. Alexander also wrote an article. He also did, he wrote the introduction to the book Light at Evening Time, a book of support and comfort for the aged. Which is an excellent book, and Ting wrote the introduction to that. He was another one, and I honestly I don't even remember now how I came across the name Stephen Ting. But so many times the Lord brings people across my path, authors, and sometimes I find them going through old books, and in the back of the old books, they would have all these advertisements about other books that were published at that time. And I'll go online and try to find an old copy and get it and read it and just be blown away by these books. And the Pastor's Council was the same way, as well as the Shorter Catechism Illustrated. That's a great book. The Shorter Catechism Illustrated is not what you would think it would be. John Whitecross went through all the questions of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and he gives illustrations from Christian history and biography. He'll take each question and give 6, 8, 10, 12 different examples, many of which are just incredible examples of that illustrate the, like, for instance, what's forbidden in the seventh commandment, forbiddeth all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. And he has just, how many does he have? About 6 or 8 different illustrations from Christian history, and many of them are very, very memorable. And so that's a great book for anybody who's a Sunday school teacher or a pastor, anybody who's going to do any teaching through the catechism. John Whitecross, The Shorter Catechism Illustrated, is just brilliant.
Well, you know, I have a suggestion for you.
Uh-oh.
Why don't you consider taking J.C. Ryle's Sickness, which I believe is taken from the Upper Room, or perhaps even from the Holiness book, I can't remember, but probably from the Upper Room.
I think it is, yeah.
And other men of God who have written on sickness, maybe Adolf Monod and others, and include them in a book, you know, maybe 10 different great men of God who wrote on sickness. I just thought that would be a great idea. And I know that we do not have time for you to repeat those titles, but once again, if Cindy would like that list, you can email it to her, or she can just follow your instructions that you gave. Can you repeat that? Solid-ground-books.com, and how does she find these books?
Well, she can, if she, like, for instance, the 7 that I mentioned, all she has to do is type in the words short classics.
Okay.
In the search bar, which is on the upper left, the book search, just type in short classics, and it'll take her to the very page where those are found.
Great. And remember, folks, it's solid-ground-books.com. Also, do not forget about the Sufficient Word Conference, which is actually the theme of the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, November 11th. and the 12th in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, featuring Dan Doriani, Richard Phillips, and Harry Reeder. Go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, and click on events. I want to thank you so much, Mike Adosh, for doing such an extraordinary job, as you always do. I want to thank all of our listeners, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.